Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone, 635 The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Alongside Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. We are live at the Logo Brands Warehouse sale. We'll be here until 10 o'clock. The 3HO will be here this afternoon. 117 Southeast Parkway here in Franklin. You want team gear, this is the place to go get it. So make sure you come out here and be part of it today. There is a lot of cool stuff in this building. We'll bring in Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville for our Friday morning chat. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We're fine. We'll talk about football in a moment. We'll start with the basketball and the situation with Tennessee and Gino Auriemma and the transfer of Avina Westbrook. What did you make of the way that, that Tennessee has handled the whole thing? I saw some comments from Philip Fulmer with, you know, with the accusations that Gino made here in Nashville a couple nights ago.
I didn't see what Fulmer said about that.
I mean, he just he basically said, you know, I'm more excited about what's going on with, you know, with our team now, and he just kind of said we're moving forward. It was sort of the gist of his comments.
Looked like we're moving on.
With one of the local TV stations that did an interview with him.
I want to make sure I didn't miss something that I knew that he had said we're moving on. I didn't know if there was something else. So here's what I was told. I can't 100% vouch for the accuracy, but Tennessee did not get in the way of the appeal. So when the appeal was denied, there was a follow-up appeal, and I was told that Avina Westbrook alleged some incidents occurred, A, B, and C occurred at Tennessee, and then Tennessee was like, we're not supporting that, because they didn't believe that that happened. So I was told that was where some of the disconnect was, that she had made some allegations that occurred at Tennessee, and Tennessee wouldn't support the allegations. And if Tennessee didn't believe those allegations to be true, they shouldn't have supported it. As Gino himself said, he has supported everybody that's transferred for Connecticut, but even those that have transferred sometimes were denied a transfer to the other school, which gets back to the basic. And I wrote a blog about this the other day. In fact, I posted it yesterday, where Philip Fulmer said the NCAA should be more transparent in giving reasons why they denied somebody. Now, you could also argue, well, then shouldn't the school be transparent about the reasons that person should get eligibility? So we don't have transparency on either end of that. But Fulmer said that he didn't agree with the way they handle things, that they have got them put themselves in a no-win situation, that they have been inconsistent with their decisions. I can't argue with him about that. I think he's right. So as far as the untold issues that occurred with Avina Westbrook, I don't know how to speculate on exactly what that means, but might be. But I was told that there were some situations that if Westbrook alleged to have at Tennessee that Tennessee would not support.
Jimmy, you know, you take Tennessee and UConn out of it and all the rivalry and all that stuff. Isn't the kind of the right thing to do for the NCAA just to say, okay, she can go ahead and play? To me, outside of a situation where a player is just unhappy with playing time and that sort of thing, if there's any sort of doubt, sometimes I think it would be better if they just sided on the side of the player and went forward from there.
Probably so. We asked Philip Fulmer the other day when we interviewed him, would you agree with just a one-time policy that it, the first time you want to transfer, you automatically get eligibility, then after that, it becomes more of an issue? And he said no, because you could have too many people that if they get mad at a coach at practice or if they get benched, they just up and quit, and because they know they can be eligible somewhere else. He believes there needs to be some type of deterrent for people just having mass exodus. One thing that might be in his favor, let's say you change coaches in basketball and 10 players decide to leave.
Yeah.
You've destroyed your program. So there needs to be some type of deterrent for them to leave. So I'm seeing both ends of this situation. I don't know if I think they should automatically, I don't think they should automatically get renewed. I think there needs to be some reason other than I'm homesick or a coach yelled at me and I got mad. So I think that I don't have as big an issue with that as some people think.
That aside, how big was that win over Notre Dame in putting that Lady Vol program back on a good track in the first year with Kelly Harper?
Huge. If you'd seen them play Central Arkansas before, you wouldn't have seen that coming. There's several things this Lady Vols program team does very well. First off, they can block shots. They're really good at that. They blocked 12 against Notre Dame. They're an outstanding rebounding team, really good at that. They play hard on defense. Now, when they make eight threes in a game, they're going to be hard to beat, although I would say this. One, they're not a real good shooting team, though they shot the three well against Notre Dame. The second thing is they're incredibly careless with the basketball. 28 turnovers against Notre Dame. They're trying to put the game away in the fourth quarter, and they commit eight turnovers in 3.5 minutes. They had a bunch of turnovers against Tennessee State last night. So their ball handling, they're just reckless. And they try to make passes. There's somebody that might be triple-teamed inside, and they try to throw it in there. They just don't value the basketball like they need to. If they can correct that, if they can get those turnovers down to where they're only committing about 12 a game, and they shoot halfway decent from three-point range, they got a chance to have a really good basketball team.
Our guest, Jimmy Heim, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Of course, Tennessee football on a bye this week before they get back to work against Missouri next week.
Well, Jimmy, I was elated to see that Trey Smith, I guess, was up for a collegiate man of the year. I guess he's one of the semifinalists. I guess tell a little bit about his story for all those who don't know about his story and what he's overcome these last couple of years, missing most of both of those seasons, I guess, or some parts of each season, and then kind of overcoming his blood clots and everything else and managing it now. Looking like he's on the right track, and they're managing it really well.
Yeah, that Man of the Year award named for Jason Witten, a former Tennessee star, of course, with the Dallas Cowboys. Yes. So what happened was that it was in the spring a while back that they discovered there were some blood clots. And so they put him on some blood thinners. He was taking off blood thinners, and then he played about half the season last year. The blood clots reemerged, so then they had to put him back on blood thinners. And the way they're managing it now, this is what I think they're doing because this has happened with some NFL people, and I was told they were emulating what their program is. As soon as the game's over, he's put back on blood thinners, and then he comes off blood thinners a couple, 3 days before the game. And Jeremy Pruitt told, I think it was Coach Kubelik with the SEC Network, that since August the 28th, when Trey Smith was actually cleared, he'd only had two full contact practices out of about 54. That's it. And yet for that guy to be playing at the level that he's playing, Blaine, you know how physical the line of scrimmage is.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah, and how you need to get work. And he's going out there and playing basically without practicing, at least contact. I think he's gotten better and better. I didn't think he played that well the first few games, but I think he's gotten better and better. He's playing now like an all-SEC player. And he is as good a football player as he is. He's even a better person. I had been told about him by Mark Bradley, his position coach from high school. Mark Bradley used to be an offensive line coach at Tennessee. What a great young man Trey Smith is, and I'm really excited to see that he's been nominated for this award.
No question. That's why I wanted you to tell that story. I saw Jay Prue, as Inge calls him. Jay Prue said that the attitude of the team of not being denied has really been one of the reasons for the turnaround. I guess, how do you teach you won't be denied? What goes through that process? Or if you've talked to him about what goes through that process to get to that point?
I didn't ask him about the process, but I think a part of that is that you got to be a competitor. Competitors do not want to be denied. And I think that previously there was some give-up attitude on that team. I definitely think there was some give-up attitude on the team last year when they got blown out by Missouri and Vanderbilt. They didn't look like they played hard, didn't look like they cared. And somebody had asked me the other day, well, they mentioned, they said, well, they laid an egg the last two games last year. And I said, well, I don't think they'll lay an egg this year because I think they got rid of the bad egg. I think there were some people on that team that are no longer there that just did not buy in. And I think it was affecting some other people. Now I think everybody on that team has bought in. They're rolling the boat in the same direction, to quote a coach from Minnesota. And I think that, and that's the reason I think they're better equipped to handle the last two games this year than last year. Cause I didn't see a lot of want to. I didn't see a lot of I won't be denied last year when Tennessee played Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Jimmy Heim is our guest. The Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. More of the show coming up in a moment on 104.5 The Zone.
Zone.
6:50, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, live at the Logo Brands annual warehouse sale event. They'll be cranking things up about 9 o'clock, 117 Southeast Parkway here in Franklin. Every sort of team gear item you can imagine right here under one roof. Jimmy Himes is our guest, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, I know that guys, the Vols on a bye week to an extent. What do you think Coach Pruitt and crew are doing to continue to keep the fight and the energy and developing those players?
Well, one thing they did was they gave them off Monday and Tuesday, went back to practice on Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, taking the rest of the week off, trying to get their legs out from under them. I will say this, I'm speculating here a little bit, but I think that maybe he learned a little bit from last year in that I think he gave them, went through some really hard practices late in the year. I think it was evident against Vanderbilt they looked slow and they looked like they didn't have their legs under them. And maybe that was a part of the reason is perhaps they practiced a little bit too hard. I think he's backed off a little bit to try to make sure they got their legs under him. And so I think that's a smart thing to do. And I actually think Nick Saban learned from that as well. I think there were times that Alabama teams would peter out late because he practiced them too hard. So if Tennessee can win one more game, they're in position for a bowl. And I was talking to a friend of mine in Jacksonville yesterday. The Gator Bowl would love to have Tennessee. I think the Music City Bowl would be interesting getting Tennessee. I know the Liberty Bowl would like to have them because they haven't been there since 1986. So there are a lot of reasons for Tennessee to win another game to put themselves in position for a pretty decent bowl game.
Man, it feels really good, Jimmy, to talk about the possibilities of going to these different bowls and everything else, let alone Tennessee has some NFL draft prospects. Who do you think some of those guys are? Because there's been some years they haven't had any.
Yeah, I wrote a blog about that the other day because there were some people that had said, well, that Tennessee didn't have any talent when Jeremy Pruitt came here. That's just not true. And so I talked to a couple of agents who represent NFL players, and I talked to Matt Stenscom and some others. I think Dwayne Jennings and Marquez Callaway at wide receiver are going to be drafted. I think Daniel Vitulli is going to be drafted probably a day three guy, which means rounds 4 to 7. I think that Trey Smith, if he comes out early, has a chance to be the highest draft pick. One agent told me that if Darryl Taylor comes out and tests well, he could be a late first rounder, certainly a second or third rounder. And then Nigel Warriors played his way into position where he might get drafted. Dominic Wood Anderson, tight end, could be drafted. There could be 6 or 7 Tennessee players drafted. And as I'm sure you know, Darryl Taylor just recently accepted an offer, an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl. And the Senior Bowl had 9 Tennessee players listed on it before the year. Now, one of them was a deep snapper, okay? But still, there were the point is Tennessee has some senior talent on this team. And this team would not be nearly as good if those players weren't playing at a pretty high level.
Jimmy, back to basketball for the men's team. They play against Washington in Toronto tomorrow, play against Washington up in Toronto tomorrow. I always say that winning breeds more winning, you know, in basketball or college athletics in general. And I think that's the case with this program. How impressive was the recruiting class that Rick Barnes has put together?
Well, I'll say this. So let's go back to when they signed Bernard King. The friend of mine said that you could sign Bernard King in 3 corpses, and that's a great class, okay? So with this class, if you'll go from 1980 forward, and if you go by recruiting rankings, this is the best class in Tennessee history. They got 2 players that project to be in the top 20 of the draft in 2021. Let me get my years right. Keon Johnson is one of them. Jaden Springer were like 13 and 19 respectively. Then they got another four-star in Corey Walker. So they got 2 5-stars and a 4-star. It's ranked number 4 in the country along with the Blue Bloods of basketball. Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky are the only schools ranked ahead of Tennessee. So I think it's a fantastic class that Tennessee has. And by the way, they're on some great players for the next recruiting class as well. So I think Rick Barnes has got this thing going in the right direction. As far as Washington, that's the game that's going to really test what I think is Tennessee's weakness, and that's interior play. Washington has a tall team. They got a 6'9", 6'10", inside players named Stewart, one of them named McDaniel, who likes to play more on the perimeter. They've got a good guard. This is a really good basketball team. I saw Rally to beat Baylor early last week. So I think this is going to be a big test for Tennessee on Saturday.
Jimmy, one more quick thought on Georgia and Auburn. You know, important game for the Bulldogs, obviously, with their playoff hopes.
Auburn's pretty tough at home, and I like Georgia. I think the Bulldogs with Jake Fromm, the moment's not too big for Fromm. In fact, he seems to play better in the bigger moments. So I think Georgia beats Auburn. And I think it'll be a close game. I think it may come down to a Blankenship field goal for the Bulldogs. But I, I think Georgia wins it, and I think they stay in the hunt for the college football playoff.
Jimmy, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you again on Monday. We appreciate
it. Okay. Have a great weekend, guys.
Okay, you too. Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, joining us each Monday and Friday right here on the Wake Up Zone. Covers Tennessee and has for many years. When we come back, trying to sort out to what all happened last night, we take a swing at the Brown Steelers fight. Remind you, we're at the Logo Brands Warehouse annual sale event that goes on right here every year. We love coming out here and just checking out all the gear they have. The doors will open up at 9 o'clock, 117 Southeast Parkway, right here in Franklin. You want more info, go to 1045thezone.com/events. More Wake Up Zone coming up next on 1045 The Zone.